Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County, with your host, Don Camber.
Hello, live from the OC Talk Radio studios at UCI's Beale Applied Innovation Center. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Don Camber with another great guest impacting our community in a positive way. Today, I welcome Municipal Water District of Orange County Board President Megan U. Schneider. She's a registered professional engineer and represents Division 7 on the board. The Municipal Water District of Orange County's mission is to provide reliable, high-quality supplies from the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California and other sources to meet the present and future needs for all of Orange County. Thank you, Megan, for being on Impact OC.
Thank you so much, Dawn. It's my pleasure to be here.
Megan, please explain how MODOC serves just over 3 million Orange County residents through 27 retail water agencies.
So we are one of the three largest metropolitan member agencies. Metropolitan is the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, and they are the wholesaler that imports water from the State Water Project as well as the Colorado River. And so as a member agency, we are the regional planner for Orange County. We also manage and administer a lot of Metropolitan's programs, including the very popular rebate programs that many of our homeowners and residents and businesses here in Orange County are able to take advantage of to create more water use efficient lifestyles and practices here. And then we also work on legislative advocacy to ensure that we are able to continue to provide safe, reliable, and cost-effective water supplies for Orange County. We also have a robust school education program. So many of us, including myself, grew up with Ricky the Rambunctious Raindrop, and that mascot's been around for since 1974. So he's been around for a long time. And many of us grew up learning about water, where our water comes from and where our water goes from Ricky the Rambunctious Raindrop. And then we also have, in addition to our water use efficiency programs, we have a number of different efforts to help coordinate and also facilitate collaboration amongst our member agencies who are the retail suppliers, including the cities and special districts that you'll see.
Well, how do you coordinate with the districts?
So it's complicated, and it takes a lot of deliberate and intentional effort. And so we are constantly learning and growing in terms of our ability to coordinate with our member agencies. And so we have many different forums, including our board workshop meetings, where we work regularly with our member agencies and invite our metropolitan representatives. So we have four representatives from MODOC that represent us at MET. And so we have open workshops where we collaborate with our elected officials and member agencies there. We also host work groups and managers meetings with our member agencies to ensure that information is disseminated, feedback is collected. And then we've also taken it a step further. And so recently we underwent a facilitated discussion process where we really spent some time digging in and listening to the different challenges and different perspectives of our member agencies. Because like you know, with any family, right, when you have over 27 different members, they all have different priorities and needs and different aspects where we can help facilitate some support for them. And so it's very important for us to spend that time to listen to the challenges of our smaller member agencies who may only serve a few hundred connections, all the way to our largest member agencies that may serve several hundred thousand connections.
What are some of the challenges they face?
So some of our larger agencies have a lot more of their own programs, right? Like they may have their own education programs and advocacy programs, but oftentimes there are opportunities for us to support them in terms of legislative advocacy or, as I mentioned, our water use efficiency program. And some of our staff are known as thought leaders in the state. And so we also engage in research programs to look at different ways to help pioneer the progression in our water use efficiency efforts throughout the state. And we actually also develop a lot of empirical data to support our positions so that when future water policy mandates are explored, we're able to provide the information and the empirical data to support why we may suggest a different route or a different alternative approach than what policymakers at the state are considering.
With all the rain that we've had, where are we with the drought?
So that's a really good question. And I think we first want to tackle what does drought mean? Because as you've probably seen in the media, the Department of Water Resources has been criticized, let's say, about their perspective on drought. And it's important to recognize that when we think of drought, we think no rain, no water. But when we're talking about drought, we're also looking at system and supply reliability through a longer term forecast. And I think one of the challenges that we're currently living through is clearly the climate environment is a lot more extreme than we've seen in more recent years. And so when we look at some of our water supply challenges, there are 20 years in the making in terms of decreased rainfall, decreased precipitation. And then we also have to look at the timing of our weather patterns. So 30% of California's water supply is actually stored in our snowpack. And so when the snow melt happens sooner in the year, it causes a challenge for us because right now we're all enjoying lots of rain and we're enjoying epic, epic snow seasons, right? But when do we need that water most is in the summertime. So July, August, September, October, when we're enduring those long heat spells and no precipitation, that's when everyone turns on their irrigation to water their lawns. And that's where most of our outdoor water use comes into play. And then that's when we're looking at, you know, making sure that because we're taking care of that outdoor water use, we have higher peak demands. And so all of a sudden we're drawing upon all those reservoirs, but if that snowpack melts too quickly, we aren't able to access as much of that water. And so we really have to start to look at all of those little changes, the changes in the winter seasons, the changes in our ability to store that water, and also the changes in our growing community's needs and our water supply that we're looking to bring in. And so when we talk about drought, it becomes a much more complicated matter because we have the Colorado River and we have our reservoirs that are at historic lows. And then we also have the State Water Project where a lot of that water is often historically stored in our snowpack. And we're experiencing this great snowfall this year, but we're also anxiously watching to see how long does that snowpack stay as snow? Because if it starts to melt too soon, then we don't have that same robustness of that water supply as we might have in historical years. And so managing all of that kind of defines what drought means. And I think maybe that's where we can do a better job of having those more nuanced conversations about what does drought mean? What does water supply reliability mean? What does system supply reliability mean? And what does that mean for us as residents of Southern California and as residents of Orange County?
So how should we treat what's going on?
So it's like anything in life. I think it's part of it is recognizing that everything is always changing. And so part of it is we have lots of engineers, scientists, different professionals that are specifically focused on water supply and water quality and water reliability working to anticipate the constant changes. And so as I've mentioned to you as we were prepping for the session, we have our Orange County Water Reliability Study. And we were one of the pioneers in looking at climate models that included low impact all the way to significant impacts. And so because we are able to do that, we were able to model some of the current situations that we're in. And MODOC has actually been recognized for our foresight and being able to do that. And so we have, I think one of the things as a resident is to rest assured and have trust in the water districts that are serving you, that we are all diligently working to strive to make sure that we are constantly looking at what are the extended forecasts for supply and system reliability, and what are the constant changing factors, and how can we shift our policies and how can we shift our practices to ensure that we can continue to enjoy the high level of system and supply reliability that we've been able to enjoy over the years. The other piece is also recognizing where individuals have an opportunity to help make a difference. And while each individual difference may seem small and minuscule, there's a Korean proverb that I grew up with. It's called Tikul Motesan. And essentially it roughly translates to even dust accumulates to become a mountain. And we've seen this over the years through all of our advancements in our plumbing code and in our appliances. Because our appliances have become so much more water efficient, our indoor water use has decreased significantly. And even though our population has increased since the 90s, our indoor water use has actually decreased because we've all been able to implement many little changes that have led to significant water savings. And I think the opportunity here is not drastic changes outdoors, but even just being being a little bit more vigilant about leaks, being a little bit more vigilant about replacing sprinkler nozzles when they're not efficient, or making sure that we're not watering when it's raining, or making sure that we're adjusting our irrigation schedules so that we're not creating runoff and overflow into the ocean. Because oftentimes people think, oh, I'm going to water my lawn for 15 minutes. And if you try watering your lawn for 15 minutes, the soil can only soak in a few minutes of spray, and then the rest of it becomes runoff. And so adopting practices like cycle and soak, or breaking out your watering cycle so that you're spreading it out, you know, throughout the evening, and making sure you're not watering during the day. Those are all simple changes that we can make that will have significant impact if we all do it. And there's so many tools out there to help us, whether it's, you know, smart timers, or, you know, just using more efficient spray nozzles, or converting some of our sprinkler systems to drip irrigation based on the plant type that we have. So the options are endless. It just takes a little bit of effort. And I think with collective effort, we can make a difference.
50% of water used throughout Orange County comes from imported supplies. Explain where the rest of the water comes from.
Yeah, so we're a large county, and part of our county has access to the Orange County Groundwater Basin. So that's our northern part of our county, and the boundary of that north part of that basin ends around Irvine. And so that is one of the world's largest and most robust aquifers, where they can store water for hundreds of years because it's a bowl-shaped aquifer. And so the water districts and cities that lie on top of that bowl-shaped aquifer are able to have access to local water supplies. I will say, though, even that groundwater basin is recharged with imported water supplies. So while they do rely on rainfall from, you know, local rainfall, and the Prado wetlands create percolation basins that allow for that groundwater basin to be recharged, they do rely on recycled water from the groundwater replenishment system, and then also imported water to help replenish that groundwater basin. So as people are pumping from their wells like straws, the Orange County Water District is actively managing that groundwater basin to ensure that they're replenishing just as much as they're pumping out. So that's where a lot of the North County Water Districts have their local supplies. We also have some local wells spread out throughout the county. So even in South County, we have our San Juan Basin. And so there are water districts and cities that are able to pump from those wells. But again, the amount that they're able to pump depends on the amount of precipitation that we've had, the amount of recharge we've been able to do. And then, as I've mentioned, you know, there's a water quality challenge. And so some groundwater wells are brackish water, so you'll have to treat that water. And then others have other contaminants that you would have to treat for, like iron and manganese. And so our water supply generally comes from our imported water supply, but we do have some local water supply. And then, as mentioned, we're always constantly looking for ways to increase our recycled water. So any of that imported water that we use, we want to reuse it as many times as we can. And we also consider that part of our local water supply.
And talk about recycled water, because many water agencies will use the recycled water on landscape.
Yes. And so if you see any purple pipe outside, or those purple signs, that's where you'll have recycled water. And I just want to be very clear, recycled water can mean a number of different things. And so that purple pipe is considered Title 22 water. And so it's treated to a standard where it can be used for industrial use or for outdoor irrigation and commercial use. And so it's clean, it's safe, it's free of any bacteria, but it's not treated to a standard where we'd want to consider it potable water for drinking. So you can touch it, your dogs can run through it, you can run through it, but essentially that water is there for irrigation. And that was done as an innovative measure because it's a little bit more cost effective to recycle water for outdoor irrigation and not treat it all the way to drinking water standards if you're not going to use it to drink. And so those are investments that a lot of districts made starting in the 60s, 70s. And so what's been great is those investments have paid off, and that's become a very cost effective way to create new water supply without incurring the cost of treating it all the way to drinking water standards.
Delta Conveyance Project, formerly known as the California Water Fix. Please explain.
How much time do we have? So, funny story. Early on in my career as an engineer in the water world, it was actually my job to create the process flow diagrams for the different options for, back then, what we called our Bay Delta conveyance. And so essentially, we knew that the State Water Project was getting towards the end of its useful life. It was often viewed as a temporary project. And looking at what we now call the California Water Fix or our Delta Conveyance Plan, we knew that there were a number of different options we needed to look at. And as engineers, we wanted to look at reliability, because if you have just one system, if it's down for maintenance, you have no other alternatives. And so actually back in the 2009-10 period, we were looking at five, because then you can have some systems down for repair and maintenance, and you can have, you know, reliability of choosing your options. By the time the project progressed, it went down to three. And then by the time, you know, the agencies were able to vote on whether or not they should move forward with the project, it went down to two. But this is where water supply and system reliability planning gets fun, because you throw politics into the mix. And then it became a debate of two versus one. And I often like to use the analogy of cars. It's great to have one car, but if you have two cars, then if one's down, then you have an alternative that you can rely on when that one car is down. And I think we want to definitely look at the broader picture, because we know from history and from current operations that the amount of water that comes through these systems is based on policies, not based on the system capacity itself. And so I think it comes back to building that trust and understanding that these systems, when engineers start designing it, we think about it from that pragmatic perspective of reliability. And how much flow comes through those tunnels really depends on the policies that are set, not how much throughput you can put through those tunnels. And so my hope is that future generations, as we continue to debate and consider the merits and the benefits of some of these investments into infrastructure that we need to maintain our community's access to clean water and safe and affordable drinking water, is not to get lost in the politics and the perceptions of some of these projects, but really to focus on what is in the best interest of our community and our public health and our environment, and recognizing that if we all work together, we can address reliability issues while also ensuring that we're making the best decisions for future generations.
Well, right now, is there one tunnel that gets water all the way from Colorado to South Orange County?
So the State Water Project is an open channel system. And so there are segments where it's just one open channel, and a lot of water does get lost to evaporation. And with the current intake system, there are a lot of limitations from a pumping standpoint, as well as from, you know, a flow standpoint. And so sometimes excessive pumping can lead to reverse flows, which actually creates a, you know, saltiness into the water, which isn't a good thing for any of us. And so part of what the California Water Fix or the Delta Conveyance Plan looked at was changing the location of the intake so that we can address some of these environmental challenges.
But what if something happens and the water doesn't flow to South Orange County? What would we do?
So we have some short-term solutions, but long-term, it would be devastating for us in terms of looking at our long-term system and supply reliability. And so that is one of the reasons why the Municipal Water District of Orange County has spent significant time and effort ensuring that we're working towards some sort of fix and some sort of resolution, because these are investments that we're making now for benefits 30, 40, 50 years into the future. And while the impacts may not be felt today, we will definitely feel the impacts decades into the future if we don't make those investments today. And that, I think, addresses some of the challenges with water, is oftentimes when we're talking about situations, we're thinking very conservatively for a long term, because it takes a long time to approve these projects, build these projects. And so some of the crisis we may not feel immediately, but we're seeing where it's heading and ensuring that we're making the right decisions and the right investments so that we don't enter into a crisis situation.
How should people view water?
Well, I think everyone should view water as something that we all need to survive. I also see it as, you know, the source of life, because we have life on planet Earth because we have water. And so it's a natural resource that we should value, that we should cherish, which means we should also respect how we use it. It's never a good idea to be wasteful with water, whether it's from a moral perspective or simply from an economic perspective, right? And then from an environmental perspective, it's important to recognize that all living forms on this planet need water. And so we need to be good stewards of how we use it. And then that helps us keep it affordable, that helps us maintain public health, and that also makes sure that we're thinking about all the impacts, because if we're wasteful, that means we're limiting availability for somebody else or something else. And so the more we're conscious of how we use our water, and the more we recognize that each of us has a personal relationship to water and can make an impact in how our local water supplies are available to everyone, is important. So back to that whole, everyone has a role to play in our water use efficiency efforts, and that everyone can have an impact, even if it may seem small.
Thank you, Municipal Water District of Orange County Board President Megan U. Schneider, for being on Impact OC. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.